All right, good morning, everyone. How we doing today on this blustery Sunday morning? I don't think anyone was expecting this, but man, good to see you guys. Welcome to Bird Park Community Church. How's everyone feeling this morning? We good? Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. We're good. All right. Well, hey, what a beautiful day to be out here, guys. And it is just, every time I'm out here, I love it. I don't know if you guys are loving this, but man, this might just become a permanent thing, you know? I'm thinking. So, an awesome time to be here. And I just love, you know, the golf cart rental folk, the hikers, the golfers. We got a golf cart, a golfing tournament going on today, so you might have to duck a couple times. But, man, it's a beautiful time to be out here. There's a lot of activity on the island. People are coming back. And it is great to just waken up again and be here on the island. So, thanks for being here. You know, last week was Easter. You guys had a good Easter? Anybody wake up early for the sunrise service? We're there. And I just wonder, you know, we're going through this series called The Chosen, this new TV show that just got season 2, just dropped. Those men who followed Jesus, men and women who followed Jesus in those early days of his ministry. I just wonder what they were thinking the day after 3 years. Now what? Right? But, you know, I think they got to work. I think they just experienced something special, and they're like, I need to tell the world about this. And they started something, right? We know the story. They started something, and here, you know, 2,000 some years later, we're still talking about the same story. You know, we're still telling the same story. And so I just hope you guys feel this today, that God is good. He's still good. He's always good, even 2,000 years later. You remember how many times throughout history they thought, surely God is coming right now. Like, this is exactly when he said he was going to be coming back. And he never did, right? All the trials, persecutions, the rise and fall of empires. Okay, his promises are still here, though. He's still going to come. And we still believe that today. As the band comes up, you know, I'm turning 30 in a couple days. And that's like, I'm like starting my midlife crisis. And 30 was how old Jesus was when he started his ministry. And so I was just thinking about how can life kind of come back? How can this ministry start up again? There's exciting things going on in this island. God is working. Even this week, having conversations with workers, employees who I never knew God. But man, God is stirring and working. I hope you feel him today. Just as the trees are blowing, that you would feel his spirit today. Amen. Mm-hmm. Real quick, out of Psalms, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's worship.
Thanks, Reed. Again, the lyrics are available on your tables there with a little QR code you can scan with your smartphone. Also, ways to give there. Just a reminder for both Singing Waters and for Community Church, you can scan those QR codes for your tithing, and there's also an offering box in the front entrance way there as you worship God in your giving as well. Hey, if a tent tries taking off while you're sitting there, just grab it. The wind keeps picking up. We've begged it, so it should be pretty good. But let's turn our attention to Jesus this morning. Let's just lift praise in this place. Amen.
With me in the rising sun, with me when the day is done, the kindness of your heart, never failing in the night, in your presence I will find the kindness of your heart. The kindness of your heart, your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. Yeah.
More than I.
More than I could care to dream. I have tasted, I have seen the kindness of your heart. The kindness of your heart. Even in my darkest day, God, your goodness will remain. It's just who you are. It's just who you are. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me.
Your goodness,
your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me.
Never before,
and ever before me, ever behind me, every day of my life, ever before me, ever behind me, every day of my life.
Put your hands together. Your goodness,
your goodness, your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. Your goodness, everywhere I turn I see your mercy, chasing after me. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new.
All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you.
It's a new horizon that I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long, and I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe.
I believe you are. I believe you are Jesus.
From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the
till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death.
And the dead rose from the tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored.
And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, free and one, God of glory, majesty.
may be seated.
Good morning. We'll try this again. Buenos dias. There you go. Did you notice it's louder? Second time? Welcome to this unbelievably beautiful but confusing day. And the reason I say confusing, because yesterday I was thinking I'm going to pull out my summer clothes. And this morning I'm thinking I'm going to wear some of my summer clothes. And then I looked at my weather thing and it says, no summer clothes today. And so here we are. And some of us, I noticed as some of us were walking in, some of us have like a little bit of confusion going on because we're dressed for winter from here to here. But we have flip-flops. I'm not going to say who, but there's some people that are walking in with flip-flops, but they're dressed for winter. Just in case, right? And, you know, it's kind of like it's unknown how the weather is right now, but one thing we do know is that Christ is risen. And he lives. And he's here. And so when we gather in his name, we celebrate his supper that he had with his disciples. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll go from there. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb was had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John. He says, go make preparations for us to eat the Passover. And so then the hour came, and they reclined at the table, and he says something very cool. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And so that was part of the Passover meal. And it was pointing to a coming Messiah. And so what he does is then right after he says these two things, because he's speaking about the kingdom of God coming, he takes the bread, and what the bread he took was, there was a cloth that had three pockets, and in those three pockets they had bread. And one of the breads, one of the pockets had unleavened bread, and leaven was considered sin, so it was unleavened. And this leavened bread had holes in it throughout. And it symbolized, it spoke of a Messiah that was going to be whipped and scourged for us. And then in the middle of that bread, there was a huge gaping hole. And it was indicative, it spoke of a prophetic word found in the Old Testament that spoke that he was going to be pierced for us. Right? And so that's the bread that he pulls. And he says, he gave thanks, broke it. He says, this is my body. And so if you could imagine the apostles, every year they had been waiting and celebrating the coming Messiah. And he gets his bread and he says, guys, this is me. This is the one that you've been waiting for every year. This is me. And this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And that cup was a cup of redemption. There were four cups during the meal. And that third cup was the cup of redemption, which means bought, paid for. And so we have been bought and paid for. We belong to him. We are his. And this was the new covenant that he was establishing, because a covenant had to be established in blood. And that's what he's done for us. And so for every time we get together, we're to do this to remember that his blood was poured out for us, that his blood was for our sake. And so as we continue with worship, I just want to encourage you to have a moment with God. Have a moment of thanks and gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Thank you for giving your body. Thank you for all that you put up with and had to deal with for our sake. And especially we thank you for the blood that was shed. That not only does it cover our sin, but it takes away our sin. It is no longer on our account. And one day when he returns, we will celebrate with him this cup. And we'll celebrate at that marriage feast of the Lamb, that coming day. We don't know when, just like we don't know what the weather's going to look like. But it will come. Amen? Amen? Father, I pray, God, your blessings on our hearts as we spend this time in communion with you, thanking you for all that you've done. And also, Father, I pray blessings upon Pastor Andrew, and that you would fill him and anoint him, Father, with the message that you've already given him, God, and that you would bless his words, that our hearts would be touched because your spirit resides in him and your spirit will speak to us, Lord. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me, you will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, my life gracefully broken.
Here I am,
here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life gracefully broken.
Jesus now,
all to Jesus now, holding nothing back, holding nothing back, and I surrender, and I surrender. I surrender, here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully. God, arms wide open,
broken. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free.
Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong and I am weak. I will be free.
Here I am.
Here I am. God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
Rumors of the Son of Man, stories of a Savior, holiness with human hands, treasured for the traitor. No ear had heard, no eye had seen the image of the Father, until heaven came to live with me. A rescue like no other. You are worthy. You are worthy of your name. You are worthy. You are worthy of your name, Jesus.
Made no sound. You died for your accusers. And as your blood fell to the ground, you redefined my future. The King of Kings has claimed his throne. Now until forever.
For the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings has claimed his throne. Now until forever.
My maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed redeemer, my answer, my saving grace.
And you're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. And you stand by my side, and you stood in my place, Jesus, no other name.
Oh,
You are worthy of your name.
Sing it out, you are worthy.
You are worthy. You are worthy of your name. You are worthy. You are worthy of your name, Jesus.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you to all of you participating this morning. You may be seated. He is worthy. Do you believe that? Do you? Right? This is more than communion. This is entering into, I mean, a real connection. Mary Lou was talking to a few of us last night about how revival is happening, but it may be happening just a little spring at a time, a little opening at a time. I love that. I was eating it up last night as I was thinking of what God is doing. You're singing, you're worthy. You're singing, grace is coming. Grace is here. You got up this morning and you know, even though it is feeling a little bit like winter, hey man, we get to do church in a park, right? And you're here this morning. You're here for scripture. You're here for encouragement, conviction. Everything that the Holy Spirit is, you want this morning. I hope. I really believe that. And I'm glad that you made it. My name's Andrew. For those listening online, welcome to those who are listening all over the place. And for our great audience this morning here at Bird Park, it's chilly, man. It's chilly. Golf is in the air. You know, I'd normally sit over here, but I wanted to be under the tent in case of a stray 7-iron. Heading for this one right here. I'm like, there's a golf tournament. Our odds are going up today. And I think you'll be all right. Certain members of my family have an odd affliction. And it usually appears around the ages of 7 and 8 and lasts well into adulthood. I thought maybe it was hereditary, but recently I was talking to some of my friends and found out their family members had it too. Then I thought maybe it was a regional thing. Something that only happens to people here on the West Coast in Cali, those living on an island or close to an ocean. So that's got to be it. However, my son-in-law in Tennessee, literally just landlocked, said it hit him and his friends too. I didn't know what the scientific name for this is, but in my house, we call it the can't see what's right in front of your eyes disorder. This disorder often is first noticed when the person has their head stuck in the refrigerator looking for a desired food that might be right on the shelf in front of their nose. But he can't see it. The only help appears to be assistance from the other family member, my wife, assuring him that it's in there. It's in there. Keep digging. And then points out what's right in front of me the entire time. Another classic design is looking for a certain piece of clothing that surely came through the wash and has been lost, and there it was directly under the shirt or the shorts right in front of me. You know this is true. She's like, Jesus, just take a minute and look, right, before I say something. Well, God's Word is telling us this morning of another affliction, a story just like that. The resurrected Jesus joins two of his followers in literally the middle of nowhere, the road to Emmaus, and not recognizing him, they shared the story of all that happened to, quote, the Jesus of Nazareth. Their hopes and confidence rested on Jesus, so they were sad and confused by what they had happened. The Lord offered them the help they needed. Jesus just was listening. Anyone watching the Chosen series right now, the new stuff coming out? Heck yeah, man. Isn't that great? It's all kind of the stuff that we know and then stuff between the lines that maybe we didn't know. The real humanity of Jesus and some of the remarks and some of the jokes and the smiles and here's one of those moments. Now, everyone here and online has heard of the story of the road to Emmaus. Everyone here. Yeah, and you have flannel graphs somewhere at home. I know you've heard about it. Something hit me this week when a text message hit my wife about a week ago today, actually, and I was listening, looking at it, and she forwarded it to me, and I was looking at it. This whole sermon came out of it. And I wanted to stick to our timeline a little bit. Right in front of their eyes the whole time he's in there. Our passage this morning is Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 27. I'm really looking at 27 in there too. Sometimes on a journey, you get so familiar with stuff, it just gets so familiar that you don't recognize him. They can be right in front of you. I'm going to cover my scriptures in a minute. Don't worry. I'm coming back to them. You can lace up your shoes, though, and meet me on this journey. I don't care if you have flip-flops this morning, Reed, Carolyn, and probably Monty. I know you probably got, yeah, exactly. Just figure it out. I'm coming back. We're on a journey. It's about to kick off. Tell someone sitting next to you, we're going somewhere. Look at them. We're going somewhere. Andrew's rambling, but we are going to land this plane. I can't tell you how many people I've had in my Jeep tours, including this week, that tell me they've never, never been here before and how incredible it. Most of them, they go, you know, I thought this was just like this little sand thing with a palm tree stuck in the middle. And then as we got there, getting closer, it was like, oh my goodness, look at the size of this island. Then they get in a Jeep and they leave Avalon. And you should hear them. Whoa. I get it all the time. And then, oh man, I can't wait to come back with my husband and do this again. Or I can't wait to, you know, celebrate our fifth here or our 25th. You know, I get it all the time in the Jeeps. This is what blows my mind, though. The majority of the people that I have in my Jeeps that are the most blown away are the ones who literally live in Huntington Beach or Long Beach or L.A. County. You know? Not like the East Coast or somewhere in the Midwest. They live right there. And I always got to say it, I'm like, what do you mean you never got on a boat to come out here? And like, I had no idea it was here. I had no idea this was here. Y'all need to invite more people. That's what I'm trying to say. This place should be packed out. Because people need the invite. Every single day, they ask me that famous question. You know, when I'm on the mainland, you know you get this one too. You actually live there? Do you get that one? And then you get the follow-up question, what's it like, right? As you tell them about $7 gas prices and $6 a gallon milk, and you know you love it, but those questions do come. The point, it can be so close and still remain so unnoticed. Plus, you can watch this on YouTube or Facebook and all that, but when you get on a boat and take that ride, you get on a golf cart, you get up here, and you're greeted by Dave Montgomery out there, and you have your temperature taken by Carol and Gail, or sit in the shade like Janie usually does, and the golfers are knocking balls all over the place, and y'all, if you can't experience that and you're online, you're missing out. Isn't this great, guys? You got to experience it. So let's go on the road. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Let's go on the road this morning. Are you ready? I probably shouldn't have worn these shoes I'm wearing today. Probably need some better equipment, like hiking boots or something. We're going on this dirty Emmaus road. Jesus only had 40 days. He only had 40 days. He's risen from the dead. He is resurrected, just like he said he would be. And now, let's see what he does on the road to Emmaus. 13. Chapter 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up, walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Then a name comes out. Verse 18, one of them named Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" What things? Right? My chosen fans, there it is, right? What things? Like, we've heard before the story, catching anything, you know, when he knew they hadn't been catching anything all night long. The stories. "The stuff about Jesus," they replied. "He's a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Chief priests or rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. Then they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who's going to redeem Israel. What is more, it's the third day since all this took place." Verse 22, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. But some of our companions went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Begin with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." My friends, that's a powerful piece of scripture, and there's some odd stuff going on here. He literally has the keys to death and hell as he is walking in the middle of nowhere with two strangers. He gave the devil a big black eye when that stone rolled away. Amen? Now all of hell is trembling because the temple they thought that is going to be destroyed has been rebuilt himself, just like he said he would. He is risen! Got an extra one in there for you, Enrique. Maybe we're missing. The presence and the power of God, or the resurrection power of God, or the redemptive power of God, the restorative power of God, the redeeming power of God, because we're searching for the living among the dead. He is not here. He is risen. Why are you looking for a living God in a dead place? A dead relationship, a dead text thread, a dead Facebook page. Why are you looking for the living God in a dead religion, a dominant religion? Why are you looking for the living? Look at your neighbor right now and say, "Let's switch it up. Let's switch it up. Let's change it." He's alive. He is real. And the presence of God is not supposed to be an add-on or an accessory or something extra. It's the operating system of the life of anyone who will choose to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, "Jesus is Lord. God has raised him from the dead." And he's got to get this message out. He's got 40 days. He's got 40 days. He's got to go. He's got to show the world that he's living so they will believe the proof of the power of the resurrection. So he's got to go. What do you do first? Since he's got to reveal himself to the whole world, he needs to reveal himself. He's the Son of God. Death could not hold him in the grave and could not keep him. The tomb was borrowed because it wasn't needed for very long. Where does he go? What does he do? Perhaps he should reenact this event. Maybe he has a reenactment event. That's it. Maybe he could go to the cultural center. Maybe he ought to call Zuck and put this on social. Maybe he ought to get it out. Maybe he ought to go viral. That's maybe he should do that. Maybe he can make a meme. What could Jesus do on the day he defeats death? You might be surprised. Because what he does next is take a walk. Come on, let's take a walk. Will you walk with me? Some of you already are. I don't even care if you know where Luke is in the Bible. I just want you to walk with me in these passages. Look deeper, like our cool films are doing right now in The Chosen. Look deeper. Look between the lines where you join these two travelers who, as of yet, remain nameless coming into it. Jesus, on the day of the resurrection, with only 40 days to spare to tell the world he is God, and convince them with so many signs and proofs, he appears to two travelers whose names we've never seen. I mean, let's at least get Bartholomew. We know who he is, right? Let's grab, you know, watch this. Just like you and me, walking along as they were headed towards a village called Emmaus, I have watched National Geographic and three other documentaries, especially this week, featured on Emmaus. And certain tour guides, I understand, will tell you that this is the road, and it's really not much. It's this little dirt thing, okay? But the majority of the folks say if you get a real tour guide, you get a real honest tour guide, they're going to tell you this. This is Emmaus. At least we think this is Emmaus. Actually, we're not even sure that this is Emmaus. This is the general area, so it could be Emmaus. Emmaus was such an insignificant place in its day that they're not quite sure where it's located. I'm not joking. They have the area, but no one knows if that's the actual location because of its insignificance. There was no archaeological evidence that this is the location or that was the location. Definitely the place. Why would Jesus go to a place that wasn't even significant enough in its day to be known in the future or even pointed out on a map today, to this day? Why would he do something like that? The man has conquered death. We look for God in places that everybody recognizes. I mean, we think that Jesus needs a shout-out, like from Franklin this week, or from Kanye, or we act like Jesus needs an Oscar for Best Resurrection. But instead, he goes to this dirty little road, this little road, real tiny road, and he meets up with two people, and it's not Zuck, and it's not Biden, and it's not Trump. Now watch, they're walking towards Emmaus. They're walking towards this insignificant place. Jesus died in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place where the Passover feast had just been celebrated. Jerusalem was the place where the promised Holy Spirit was going to come. But Jesus leaves that place where the Spirit is coming to follow two dudes who we don't even know. What kind of God is this? That he would meet you in this crowd, in this park, and some of you came by boat to be here this morning. What kind of God is this? That would look at you online and meet you right where you are in your home on your couch or in your bedroom watching. What kind of God is this? Two things are happening here at once. You got the eternal word of God, who is the beginning with God, fullness of glory, full of grace and truth, trampled death and sin and hell and grave and made a mockery of Satan. Those who handed him over are soon to bow down and worship him. Every knee will bow, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And God has exalted Jesus to the highest place to give him the name above every name. That's happening. And then these two unnamed people, most scholars say probably a husband and a wife. In a minute, we'll get the guy's name. We don't actually get the woman's name because in Bible times, people didn't treat women too well. They were pretty overlooked, but that's the kind of people Jesus liked, is those who are overlooked. He'd work a miracle with a little kid's lunch. And in their math, kids couldn't count. But in Jesus' math, that's where the multiplication was in the hands of the one who everybody walked past. That's who he went to. I'm just saying that because you might think that you can only go on this journey if you're perfect. You might think you can only go on this journey if your life is profound. Look at my accolades and what I have. Or that God can use everybody who is known because, you know, we worship the idol of fame in this age. But the famous one. The famous one, the name above every name, met with two previously unnamed travelers. And only because he met with them do we know the name of the man. It was Cleopas. Jesus and Cleo. That's what his friends called him. Since we're going on this walk, we should call him by his nickname too, Cleo. Jesus and Cleo. After all that just happened, they're walking to a village called Emmaus, a village that nobody even really knows where it's at today at all. Are you putting this together? I mean, they can guess. They're going towards Emmaus. Why would Jesus make one of his first resurrection stops headed to a place away from where the Holy Spirit was about to fall? Toward a place that no one would even remember. Could it be possible that we look for God in the destination but he's the God of the detour. Can I say that? Can I preach this morning? He's the God of the detour. You think you're going to find him one place? He may be in a whole other situation. He's the God of the detour. And I'm trying to tell you that the perfect, flawless Son of God turned his back on Jerusalem and set out on a road toward an unnamed place, followed two people we've never met before because he is the God of arrival. He's the God of the first step. He's the God of the second step and every step. He is with me when I'm right. He is with me when I'm wrong. He's with me when I'm going forward. He's with me when I'm stuck. He's with me when I'm in dancing like Michael Jackson in front of my kids because I'm so stoked at a great week of work. And he's dancing with me when I'm crawling and I come to my wife saying, what the heck just happened to me this week? When I'm strong, when I'm weak, he is with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. You guys know this. This is our Savior. And they're walking the wrong way. Remember? They're walking the wrong way. If they really believed that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. But they didn't. They didn't, but God followed them. Listen to me. A lot of distractions this morning. God followed them. He followed them to the wrong place because grace will chase you down. I could close in prayer right now. We sung about grace earlier. Grace will chase you down. Something special is going to happen in this church. Mary Lou was describing how the revival, ping, 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 is opening up, and I just got some chills going on. It might be a real small start because we look for God in the dramatic, but he hides in the details. Everything is backwards about this. He spent his whole life telling everybody to follow me. And there he was, following them. Instead of people making their way toward God, God has now come to us. He switched it up. He switched it up. You weren't even looking for him, and he was looking for you. You weren't even seeking for him, and he was showing himself all along. Even Cleopas said, we hoped he was the one. And in addition, he said, some of our women amazed us when they went to the tomb this morning. Wrong place. He's not in the tomb. He's on the road. He's not in religion. He's in relationship. Please help me preach this. I need to know you're receiving it. I need to know you're receiving it. God has told me that some of you are going to come out of your tombs. Tombs of tradition. And really experience the presence of God. This town needs to see this. And I don't mean because it's post-COVID and masks are coming down and you know things are laxing a little bit. None of that. That could change tomorrow. The presence of God is either real or it's not. How many want to experience his presence? Raise your hand. Very cool. On the road, he said, our women went to the tomb. They didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb. This is still Cleo talking, okay? Telling Jesus about Jesus. Still not recognizing he was right beside him. Some of our companions went to the tomb, he said, and found, and I love this. I love this, okay? This is the most ironic verse in Scripture right here, okay? And found it was just as the women had said. Here it is, okay? But they did not see Jesus. And neither did you. He's telling Jesus about other people. But he didn't see him himself. He doesn't know. Have you ever realized how easy it is to judge somebody else's journey and not even recognize what God's doing in your own? John, if you'll come up. Let's all stand up. Get some blood flowing. I'll close out this message this morning. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and slow to believe. How foolish you are and slow to believe. That's the problem. That's the problem. Please listen to me here on this right here. Listen in this park. Listen online. Every location, everyone listening right now. It starts in the heart. That's where it all comes down. That's why Proverbs tells us to guard it. It is the wellspring of life. Every person that doesn't know Jesus seems to come up with their own plan for salvation, for making it their life work. And some of you are well on your way to repenting of that, and I'm cheering. The plan is formed as a defense against our wounds, against further exposure, and as an attempt to get some taste of what we're made for, but in a way that's well within our control. Been there. The real journey begins when the false self fails. And if we'd walk with him in our journey and in our initiation as men and women, we must walk away from our false self. So I'm saying to you this morning and offering you the opportunity to set it down. Give it up completely, willingly. If you just close your eyes for a minute, lots of distractions. We can choose to do it ourselves, or we can wait for God to bring it all down. So, what do you need to give up? Walk away from. Set it down. What would feel risky to do? Really naked. Really require faith right now. You said you're slow to believe, but you keep trying to make sense of life things with your head. Keep trying to figure out the reason for what's happening to you. And when you can't figure out the reason, you want to jump off the road. You want to stop following. You want to stop trusting when you can't figure it out. But if you'd switch it up like Jesus is doing and believe in your heart what you have not seen with your eyes and believe the goodness of God. Who am I preaching to that's out here in this park today or listening online? If you would get in your heart, if you would give it to Jesus, get it in your heart. This journey doesn't start with making sense. This journey starts with faith. Have faith in God. My friends, he is with you on the road. And Jesus, we call out on you this morning. We call out on you, our Savior. Will you just disturb us? I don't want to walk any further. I want to get back to where the Holy Spirit's about to fall. I want to get back to where everything should be. I don't want to head to the middle of nowhere, to something insignificant. But even if I have, or maybe you have this morning, grace will find you. He'll come find you. He will follow you. And it's doing it even this morning. Opportunity is here. Thank you for your sacrifice, and even more so for chasing after us, Jesus. And at that point, we have a decision to make, and I pray that we follow you. The real Jesus. And we give it to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Well, you can stay standing. We're going to close out in song together here as we get ready to head out and enjoy the rest of your weekend here. And so let's... Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero.
alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
You've been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
Sing out hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
If you believe that, sing it out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh, have done great things.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.